Today on Real Radio.
Paul tells us that the law pays no dividends but death. The law can never compliment you. It sees no good in you. The law demands and points to Jesus Christ and to Him alone as its hero because He alone fulfilled the law. But outside of Christ, the law has no hero. That's why the book of Ephesians is the book that says, those who are in Christ.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We're in a mini-series that focuses on what is possibly the most cited passage in Scripture that proclaims the truth that our salvation is of the grace of Almighty God alone. We're speaking, of course, about Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Paul says, be careful. That very thing you think you're strong in is the thing you're going to fall in. I can handle it. No, you can't handle it. But salvation by grace will always produce humility in our lives. It's not of us. It's of Him. It's not of works. Nobody can boast. Listen, it excludes all human achievement and pride. And I want you to grab this. Why did God select Paul the Apostle? Back then, Saul of Tarsus, Pharisee. Listen. In Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 3, listen to the qualifications of Paul in the flesh and see if you can outdo this guy if you want to work your way into heaven. Because you're going to have to beat Paul. Philippians 3:3 says, for we are the circumcision. We're Jewish. Truly. Think about it. Who worship God in spirit? Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29 says of us who have been circumcised of the heart that we are truly Jewish. Did you know that? How many of you are born again? Raise your hand. Wow. Look around. Look at all the hands. You can put your hand down. That's great. It's neat. You know what? Did you have this experience when you got born again? Did you feel Jewish for some reason? Started like, man, I all of a sudden want to go to Israel, and I don't know. It's weird, man. I got saved, and I got a Star of David. I went and bought one at the jewelry store. I just felt like I wanted to be a Jew, and then I came along to Romans 2 verses 28 and 29. And it says, he who is a Jew, he is not a Jew who is circumcised outwardly of the flesh, but he is a Jew who's been circumcised inwardly of the heart, whose circumcision is of the heart and not of the flesh. And that was the neatest thing. Wow. And you know what the word Jew, Jewish, Judaism means? It means praise, to praise, praiser, a worshiper. That's what Jewish means, a worshiper. So Paul says here in Philippians 3:3, for we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. That means no circumcision, we don't trust in it. We don't trust in any baptism. That doesn't do anything to you. Taking communion is not going to save you. Doing penance, anything of the flesh, it won't work. No confidence in the flesh. Though I also, he says, might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, he says, I more so. And you go, man, that's a pretty big statement, Paul. And he goes, oh, yeah? Well, watch this. What day were you circumcised on? seventh day. He says, I was circumcised on the eighth day. Circumcised on the eighth day. What tribe or what nation are you from? Well, I'm from America. Big deal. I'm from Israel. Oh. What tribe are you from? Chino Hills Indians. I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. Wow. I'm a Hebrew, and not only a Hebrew, I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He says, if you want to brag, he says, I can brag you under the table, pal. Concerning the law, I was a Pharisee. I could quote you any verse of the Bible, a drop of a hat. I could do Bible bash and whip you in a drop of a hat. He is just, I could even quote the verse before you got the last reference right out of your mouth. Concerning the law, I was right on. The Pharisee, and listen, concerning zeal, I was so zealous that I went around having Christians killed. That's how zealous I was. Concerning the righteousness, can you say this? Concerning the righteousness which comes by the law, I was blameless. If you're going to get there by works, you're going to have to outdo this boy here. Listen to this. But what things were gained to me, all of this position and this gain, these I have counted loss for Christ. I love the word in the Greek, it's bandini. No, I'm kidding. It means bandini. It's garbage. He's going to say this in a moment here. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but bandini, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, which is really no righteousness at all. But he says, which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. And isn't it funny tonight that the world thinks they can work their way into heaven, and the moment somebody comes into the presence of a worldling who is even viewed as being better than they, what does the world say? Did you catch that? Did I lose you? If the world out there is saying you need to work your way into heaven, the moment somebody who is better than them comes into their presence, you know what they do to them? Do you think they lift them up and say, you know, put them on a little gurney and lift them up high and say, hey, this guy's better than us. And we believe that you have to work your way into heaven, so look at him, he's really good. No, they don't. They say, you little self-righteous thing, you. The world gets all upset when somebody better than they walks into the room. Well, holier than thou. It bugs them. But yet they'll tell you their message, and their message is be good enough. Contradiction. No boasting's allowed. Romans 3:23, you know it well. Starting there, Paul says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. He did this to demonstrate His justice, because in His forbearance He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished, to demonstrate at this present time His righteousness, that He might, God, might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. It's absolutely amazing. Do you tonight trust Jesus Christ and His sacrifice on the cross? Now, our tendency might be to say, yes, I do. And in the foreseeable future, there's no possible scenario that's going to test us on that. You're not on your deathbed right now. The doctor hasn't told you today you've got 25 minutes. You got an hour. So we can say that. We trust Him. We trust Him to take us into eternity by His sacrifice. We borderline call Him a liar concerning our mortgage payment this month by how we live. Oh man, what am I don't know. I don't know if I can pay this bill. My mortgage, my rent, how are we going to eat? How are we going to eat? And we start to worry. And God says, don't worry about those things. I'll take care of you. But we're worrying. And we're supposed to trust Him to get us into heaven? Isn't it funny? We're trusting Him for the big deal. But we're freaking out over the rent. And for some, you go visit them at the hospital. And listen, they don't care about what they're going to be eating. There's this question. Am I going to make it? And here's the question. He asked them. Well, we can find out right now if you're going to make it. Tell me what you believe about Jesus Christ. People, listen, everybody grab this. If you go visit your loved ones, don't spoon feed them the gospel. Do you understand what I mean by that? Don't go like this. If they're on their deathbed, don't say, Grandma, Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose again from the dead, His blood washes us from sin. Do you believe that? Yeah, sure. Don't put the words in their mouth so for them to just go, yeah, sure. Don't do that. Say, Grandma, can you tell me right now what do you think about Jesus Christ? Who is He? Just ask them who He is. Jesus said to the disciples, who do men say that I am? Not, are they swallowing the propaganda? No, He said, who do men say that I am? When you ask them, who do you think Jesus is? What are they saying? Well, some say you're Elijah. That's a wrong answer. Some say you're the prophet. Well, that's a wrong answer. Some say you're Jeremiah. Wrong. Peter had the right answer. He couldn't even take credit for it. Peter was probably about to say, I'm hungry. And the moment he went, I'm going to say something because I don't know what else to say, so I'm going to say something. And he opens his mouth, and out of his mouth it says, Thou art the Son of God, the Messiah of Israel, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father in heaven. That's where you got that. You couldn't think of that one on your own, Peter. And we ask people, who is it that you say Jesus really is? Well, He's a great guy. He went around doing all kinds of good stuff. That's not the answer. I think He's one of the greats. It's not the answer. You can say He was the person who changed the course of all human history. It's not the right answer, though it's true. It's not the right answer. And you can slip off into a Christless eternity. Why? Well, gosh, what's the big deal? Please understand this. A moment ago, you were thinking it's too easy to get into heaven by just having faith in Him. Now I'm telling you that it's got to be proper faith. And you're thinking, it's kind of narrow, isn't it? Isn't that funny? It means that you're going to pull up and sit right on Him and you're going to ride on His lap right into eternity and you trust for Him to stay still and take care of you. Do you believe that? That's the salvation that comes from grace alone. God's grace working in us. Grace and works, it's like oil and water. It's not going to mix. But because salvation works in your life and you have that grace, you're going to be producing works but the works don't save you. Real quickly, and we'll wrap this thing up. Salvation, because it's by the grace of God, is eternally secure in Him. You can never, never lose your salvation. Listen, you can never lose your salvation because it was never found. It was given. The question tonight is, are you truly saved? I love what one commentator said. He says, your salvation was given apart from any works, and we must be careful to remember that though we didn't get it by any works, it is also true that by any bad works we cannot lose it, for it is by the grace of God as a gift given freely, and it is freely received. And a legalistic mind has a hard time with things like that. Paul tells us in another place that the law pays no dividends but death. The law can never compliment you. It sees no good in you. The law demands and points to Jesus Christ and to Him alone as its hero, because He alone fulfilled the law. But outside of Christ, the law has no hero. That's why the book of Ephesians is the book that says, those who are in Christ. And if you're in Christ tonight, the law looks and sees you in Him. I've told you this before. I can't think of any. I should have brought them out here tonight. I've got the little Matryoshka dolls. You've seen them. Many of you have them from Russia. And you know, the little, you pull them apart, and it's the little guy, and it gets smaller and smaller and smaller. They're really a lot of fun. But if I held the Matryoshka up and you were not familiar with that Matryoshka, you would think, well, that's a nice little wooden doll. You have no idea there's about 10 of them on the inside, because they're hidden inside the other. And that's how we need to be in the Lord. Grace produces strength to continue on. And we'll end with this thought right here. Grace produces strength to continue on. Listen, people, when we get tired in our Christian experience, burned out, it's because we've missed applying this great thing of grace. God's grace, it's upon us. We sing this song often on Wednesday nights. Listen, blessed is the man whose strength is in you. That's the Lord, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. He's wandering toward heaven. He's on his way. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. That is grace, to continue on. God will see to it. By His grace, we will make it. By His grace. One of my favorite verses, you're very familiar with verse 6. It's in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Great verse, you know it. It says, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. But here's verse 7. Who are you, O great mountain, great obstacle? Who are you before Zerubbabel? You shall become a valley, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of works. Work, let's work it. No, it says with shouts of grace, grace unto it. You got an obstacle in your life? You got a marriage going goofball, crazy? Kids, wife, husband, job? Ask God, Lord, I need you to shower your grace on my life. What a funny thing. It's free. We run around, we got this cup. Oh, man. You look in the cup, it's all dry. There's dust in it. I need grace. You're right. You need grace, man. Oh, I wish I had grace. God is saying, man, I got so much grace around here. I got to get rid of some of this grace up here. Oh, I need grace. I'm not going to make it. And God said, man, I got so much grace. We got to build more walls so we can hang grace on it. And we're, I need more grace. And God's saying, he told James, he said, James, will you tell them that they have not because they ask not? Will you ask? God says, ask. Will you ask me? He just wants you to ask him. Well, I don't know why I'm having such a difficult Christian life. When's the last time you asked him to fill you up with his Holy Spirit? You're supposed to do it every day. You can set your watch to... when I start running out of power... the Lord goes, when's the last time you asked me for some super duper power? When's the last time you asked me to fill you up? It's so convicting. Every morning he wants me to go out in his power. He's got all this grace and he wants to fill up my cup so that it goes over and floods the place. And same with you. Grace! It's the power that gets us through. It's the freedom. We can depend on it. With shouts of grace. And grace assumes that there's a need in our lives, and there is a great need in our lives. But God wants to remove the obstacles from our lives by grace. And listen, it is the obstacles He has placed in our lives so that grace can be appreciated and received. We need to shout unto the Lord and to that thing that's in our lives, God's grace will get us through this thing. God's grace. There was this little guy I grew up with. Some of you did too. Whenever there was an obstacle in his way, Felix the cat would always call for this guy. And he was a little guy, dressed really kind of weird. And Felix would like need to go through a mountain. And he would get this little guy called Vavoom. Remember him? Any of you born back in 39? And Felix would point that guy to the big mountain, and that little guy would go, Vavoom! And he'd go a couple feet forward, Vavoom! And they'd get on the other side, and Felix would go, and that obstacle just became a tunnel. And Felix passed right through all the debris. And we need to shout grace to the great mountains that keep us back and walk through like it's a valley. He's promised us. We need to ask Him.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from the precious and familiar passage, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. On tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, we'll hear a study taken from verse 10, so be sure and join us for that. In the meantime, remember to take advantage of our offer, Pastor Jack's audio CD set, The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about history's most influential figure, then take advantage of this generous offer. Pastor Jack's The Life and Times of Jesus Christ on audio CD is yours when you make a contribution to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount. So when you get in touch with us, be it by calling, by clicking, or by writing, just ask for The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877 RR Radio, 877 RR Radio. Or you can send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. If you missed any of this contact information, it can easily be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, You shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.